You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. And look who is in the house. Timmy Legler. Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Nice to see
Doggy.
You.
Right.
I'm Molly Karam.
How you doing?
That's Big Steve.
What's up, y'all? Excuse me, producers. I need an ISO.
Do you not see how good I'm looking in the morning? I mean, damn.
We're going to talk about
the breaking question. News on First Take.
Stephen A.
That's got to
Stephen
be
a.
it.
I
right
just
here.
Have one question.
Yes.
I like the color of the suit. Right. Looks very nice. But is there a statute of limitations on how many patterns one can have?
Because no.
there's polka dots,
right.
There's flowers, there's other
say,
flowers.
I would say this to you.
What? It's a lot happening.
Because you always are right, but you've had better days. This is not the day for you to be talking about me. This is my day right here, okay? This is where I'm at right
now. If you want guaranteed flowers, send them to yourself.
Damn right.
That's right.
Yeah, my God.
That's right.
Yes!
That's right.
Yes!
Send it to myself.
You know what I'm saying?
I like the hairdo. I like the black and white, the little matrix look, that kind of stuff. It's all right.
It's actually brown, but that's cool.
It didn't look brown.
Chris, how are we doing?
I think ordinary today. I don't see you no special.
Molly, yes. I got you.
Come on. A little ordinary.
I got you.
Tim.
Just, I think that's what Steve is referring to.
I got you right here.
I don't know what's going on with the vitriol with everyone.
I don't know.
It's not vitriol.
I
don't know.
I got beat
vitriol.
Up yesterday. And then what vitriol. Did you just say? I look ordinary.
Not, the outfit is not
ordinary.
As you said.
She never looks bad.
I will always have you back. I'm right here.
Her ordinary is most folks exceptional. But I'm just saying on a day like today.
Look at you. Look at you trying to backpedal, walk it back.
It's about me.
Are you doing a little MJ? Walking it back?
It's about
okay,
me.
That's cool.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
The yes. Timberwolves had their second 2-0 lead ever in a playoff series after beating the Suns despite only 15 points from Anthony Edwards. Phoenix's big three of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal were held to 52 points. The Pacers, even their series with the Bucks behind another big game from Pascal Siakam, who finished with 37 points, 11 rebounds. That was the first win by a road team in the playoffs after 11 straight losses. But it wasn't the last, as Luka Doncic and the Mavericks won in L.A. to even their series with the Clippers. Doncic had 32 points, and Dallas won for the first time this season when scoring less than 100 points. Stephen A., is this Suns T-Wolves series essentially over?
You don't want to say it is, but I kind of think it is. I'm looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I can't express enough how impressed I am with them. I thought the Suns, because of how they had their way with Minnesota during the regular season, particularly, fellas, when Rudy Gobert was on the court, they really had their way with them. I think they outscored them by 25, 26, and 17 points, respectively, whenever Rudy Gobert was on the court, and they beat him convincingly, and they didn't even have they had a double-digit second-half leads each time. And then the playoffs arrived, and we saw that show that Anthony Edwards put on, to the point where I had to pick up the phone. Me and Wilbon picked up the phone and called Michael Jordan. I said, we see somebody that look a little bit like you right now. And MJ was like, man, the brother's special, no doubt. And then last night we see Jaden Daniels. And what Jaden McDaniels and what he does, we see the balanced scoring attack. We see their size, their athleticism, their ability to defend multiple positions. And I'm like, well, damn. The one team that it almost looks like the one team standing in their way is the Denver Nuggets because of their size and obviously their skill and Jokic and all that stuff. But I'm just looking at Minnesota right now, and Phoenix seems outmatched. And Kevin Durant got to a point last night where I would never, ever, ever accuse the great Kevin Durant of quitting. But he looked so demoralized. So demoralized. It looked like a finished product. And Frank Vogel, a championship coach, no doubt about it, deserves our respect. No one has ever bragged about him, you know this, offensively. From a schematic perspective, in terms of him being a head coach and how he runs an offense, how potent his offense, nobody has said that about him. You're not beating Minnesota with defense. You're going to have to score if you're the Phoenix Suns, because you're not that great defensively. We ain't getting into how awful you are. You're the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA this year. The worst. You're not beating the Minnesota Timberwolves because all of a sudden you're going to amp up your defense. You got to be able to put some points on the board. And they can't. They haven't been able to do it. I don't want to say that Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal can't do it, but you're not beating Minnesota four of the next five games. I cannot see that happening. Yeah, I'm willing to say this series is over.
Take it easy. Take it easy. The T-Wolves 2 years ago blew a terrible series to Memphis. They should never have lost. They blew leads left and right. They lost in six games. This is a franchise that has no history in postseason play. They won two series the same year with Garnett when they got to a conference final. It was 20-something years ago. Yes, they played excellent defense the last 2 days, and Stevie's 1,000% right. I hate to say this, Durant looked shot last night. And forget the defense. He missed shots. He missed a couple free throws. He was awful, awful, awful in the game. Booker's trying too hard. Beal is always overrated. So I got some concerns here. No question about it. But these are the T-Wolves. They're not a prolific offensive team to begin with, too. They have the two games in Phoenix. I understand winning a game in Minnesota won't be easy, but you're telling me this series can't go 2-2 back to Minnesota? I would be very, very surprised if, at the very least, Phoenix doesn't win the game Friday night, get to 2-1, gain a little confidence, and away we go. If Durant's got a competitive bone in his body, come out and score 40 on Friday night. And they're not that good. They're not the Detroit Pistons, all right, with Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace. They're not that good. So I still expect the Suns to make a run. I understand 4 out of 5. You got to win a home road game. Tricky, and they played awful last night. I get that. Series isn't over yet.
Okay, well, so here's where I'm at. You say it's not over yet. Stephen A., for the most part, said that, but you said you don't want to quite go there. I'm going to go there. This series is over. This series is over. And here's why. When I look at two teams play, what I have to say to myself is for something to turn around is, can that team impose their style of play on the other team? Phoenix cannot to this team. Phoenix at their best, they've got to turn it into a track meet. They've got to play early into the shot clock. They've got all that offensive firepower. They've got to play before they're playing against a set defense, because this is the best defense in the league. The problem is, they're taking the ball out of the net early in the game. Minnesota is scoring on them. They're crashing the offensive glass. All of those things make it very difficult for you to get out and run to the extent that you need to get space. And as the game goes on, you're not seeing Phoenix get stronger. You're seeing them start to get, words we've both used, demoralized, right? Defeated. That's how they look by the time you get to the end of the third quarter. They don't look like they believe they can attack this defense. With three elite perimeter defenders, all that size behind them that they're being funneled to, I don't look at Phoenix, Stephen A., dog, I don't look at them as a team that's got the mental toughness or the physical toughness.
Definitely not the physical.
That you need in this series. That's why I think this series is over. It's a foregone conclusion is what I'm saying. I think it goes back 3-1 to Minnesota, and Minnesota wins this thing in 5 games.
And let me tell you something right now. Nurkic, there were a couple of times last night, Dougie, in the second half. Nurkic, he just stood there and just let somebody. He wasn't even trying to defend. And I think when I think about Kevin Durant being completely demoralized, I think that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Because he's looking at it and is like, damn, we can't stop him. You got nobody on the front line that's really playing an impediment to the Minnesota Timberwolves when they get to the basket. And then on top of it all, we got to pull out everything out of our bag just to get buckets against this team defensively. Let me also say this. A couple of things that's very, very important to note. Kevin Durant in this series is averaging 24.5 points a game. In both games, he got off 16 shots. These guys are not, and he's leading the team in shot attempts. When you talk about defense, think about the age that we're living in, Doggy. Think about how the game has sped up. Think about how it caters to offenses. Think about how they want more offense. And these guys can't get shots off. He's averaging 16 attempts, and he's leading the team in attempts. And last but not least, Grayson Allen, who actually has gotten criticism throughout the years. I like him. I like his toughness, whatever. He led the league in three-point shooting this year, 46%.
And now he's hurt.
Let me say something. Let me tell you something right now. It's a national embarrassment. The dude has attempted 5 shots in 2 games. all three-pointers, he's made one in these first two games. You can't be on a court as you're starting shooting guard, and that's what you're giving them. You got to give them more than that. I don't know what the hell is going on with Grayson Allen. No threat whatsoever. Kevin Durant out there looks helpless, and we'll have a conversation later on about Kevin Durant and how he's going to be perceived if he ends up going home in the first round. Again, it's bad. It's bad in Phoenix right now. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant can explode for a game or two. They did that against Denver last year. But I can't see them beating Minnesota for the next five games. I just can't see it.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right. As Stephen A. just alluded to, we will have much more on the playoffs. But, gentlemen, let's not forget, you know what tomorrow is?
The draft.
It is the 2024 NFL Draft. Ryan Clark coming out, folks. The Chicago Bears hold the top pick this year, and everyone expects they'll pick USC quarterback Caleb Williams, which would make him the sixth Trojan to be selected number one overall. Meanwhile, the Bears looking to change their track record on quarterback selections. Kind of been a revolving door there. Here's Bears GM Ryan Poles.
Unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So, we know what we're going to do. But everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
Look who's in the house.
Hello,
RC,
guys.
In the Big Apple. We know it's a big day when RC comes to New York.
So, Stephen A. walks on to the Get Upset, not to say something, not to do his job, simply to show off his outfit. Right. He wanted the camera to just pan to him. He wanted to be silent next to Greeny so people could talk about what he had.
But, RC, don't you feel like that's totally on brand?
That's totally true.
It's on brand for Stephen A.
That actually makes sense. Yeah. You're right, Molly. Never mind.
You say it's on brand, but I don't believe in on brand. I just believe in being Stephen A. It's just me. It ain't a brand. There are certain, because RC and I know this.
I'm just saying you're consistent.
We lament people in the industry. There are some people who are always on brand, and it annoys the hell out of us because they seem phony with it. We all know I am who I am. I approve that message.
Hey, Molly, all I'm saying is this. Move on. Skinny Stephen A is acting totally different.
Skinny Steve is wild.
Skinny Steve is wild.
You know what I like to call him? Slim Shady.
It's Slim.
I mean, it's
Slim.
Just because he's slim and he's a little shady.
I'm not skinny. I'm slim now. I just lost the fat. I don't look like a chipmunk anymore. That's all.
That's why they keep using your old pictures.
Yeah, man, they keep doing it. It's pissing me off, too. It's pissing me off, man. They be picking up these old photos, doggy, and me from a year ago. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't look like that right now. Could you get an updated picture? But that's me. But we can move on. We can move on. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Will Caleb Williams be this year's C.J. Stroud? I understand that's an aggressive question, Ryan Clark, and I'm coming to you on that because what C.J. Stroud did was remarkable.
And I think we have to put that in context. C.J. Stroud had one of the great rookie seasons we've ever seen at the quarterback position, but I absolutely believe Caleb Williams can duplicate it. Now, the difficult part is going to be, can the Chicago Bears now be better than the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers, who seem to be stacked in the NFC North? But let's think about what the Chicago Bears have done to prepare for Caleb Williams. You acquire Keenan Allen. You have DeAndre Swift. DJ Moore was picked up last year, had a great season along working with Justin Fields. And you have Cole Kmet at the tight end position. You go and get Shane Waldron, who, if we remember, in Seattle was the offensive coordinator who helped Geno Smith become the comeback player of the year and a Pro Bowler. And so I think the Chicago Bears, for the first time, have set the table for a quarterback to be successful. And now you have an opportunity to get one of the more talented quarterbacks that we've seen, at least in my opinion, in the last 10 years be drafted.
Well, first off, 3 years ago, the number one pick was Trevor Lawrence. And the world thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to be a Hall of Famer. He had won a championship. He had beaten Alabama. He was 6'7". He ran. He did everything. And I think we'd all have to agree that right now Trevor Lawrence is a bit of a disappointment with the Jaguars.
He's been underwhelming.
He hasn't played great. So although there's a lot to like about Khalil Williams, I'm not ready to sit there and say that he is going to be an historically great player. I saw the Notre Dame game last year. He was awful. He creates sometimes a lot of his own havoc, but he was awful in Notre Dame. He didn't play great against Utah in many games. I saw him at the end of the game when he was at Oklahoma play against Oklahoma State. They had a first down at the 15-yard line. Couldn't put him in the end zone. Listen, a little spotty with the media. You know, he didn't talk to the media after the UCLA game, talking about, quote-unquote, creating his own legacy. How about winning a game first in the NFL before we start worrying about creating one's own legacy? And the other thing here's, Ryan, and you know more about it than I do because you play and everything else. Here's the other thing. When have the Bears gotten a quarterback position right?
Yeah.
Justin Fields, a disaster. Trubisky, an absolute disaster. McCown, they drafted from UCLA with the 11th pick, an absolute disaster. So now all of a sudden we think that Williams is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. He could be, but he's not Troy Aikman.
Okay.
I don't think it's a guarantee.
And I think that's the other big thing, too, though. We can't hold Chicago's history at the position or as an organization against Caleb Williams, Ryan Poles, and Matt Eberflus. It's the same thing, I think, with Detroit and Dan Campbell. Eventually, someone has to have an opportunity to change it, and maybe Caleb Williams is that player.
You could look at it that way. I look at it from the standpoint they're playing with house money. Let me explain. First of all, you got to look at this. Dougie, when you talk about Trevor Lawrence, I still believe Trevor Lawrence has an opportunity to be a Hall of Famer. He's young. He's young. And even though he had a bad season last year, let's remember he came back from a 27-0 deficit in a playoff game and came back to beat the Los Angeles Chargers. So let's not forget that, okay? The brother can play. We'll see what he does moving forward in the future. But last year, obviously, was an up-and-down year for him. That's number one. Here's what I would say to you about Chicago, because I know you get on me about this, RC, but I think about weather. And I think about November and December. And I'm like, damn it, you know, you're throwing damn football in Chicago in November and December. Damn it, you ain't going to be throwing them damn ball much anyway. But when you are the Chicago Bears, and basically when it comes from the quarterback position, all you really have to celebrate is Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
Guess what? You're playing with house money. You playing with house money. And when I think about the fact that you still got DJ Moore, you acquired Keenan Allen, okay? DeAndre Swift, who was a 1,000-yard rusher from the Eagles.
Yep.
Met at the tight end spot. Nobody caught more touchdowns from the tight end spot other than LaPorta. So I'm looking at him and the weapons that you have available to you. And I'm looking at a defense that wasn't too shabby. They were 12th in the NFL. You've got an opportunity to be good almost instantly if you're the Chicago Bears and this guy, Caleb Williams, gives you what he can give you. He's still a rookie, but he's got tremendous skill sets. We get it. Here's the thing. When everybody's projecting you to be number one, that's where the pressure comes off. I know Jaden Daniels is there, but everybody's been saying Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So taking Caleb Williams is not a crime. Now, if you're at number two, or you move up to number two, and you bypass Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson from Mitchell Trubisky, now that's you messed up.
Yep.
But there's really no pressure on the Bears right now because everybody and their mother's been saying Caleb Williams. So if he doesn't end up working out, It's not a pick that no one else would have made. Yep. Practically everyone else would have made it. And I think that's why they
put right. And isn't that the same thing with Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville?
That's right.
Right. We all said at the beginning of Trevor Lawrence's last year or even the year before, people were saying if he came out, he'd go before Joe Burrow. Yep. I think what I do love about co-hosting The Pivot is I get to sit with people. I met with Caleb last week, right? And he was on our show Friday. He's so much different than people have painted him to be. Mm-hmm. He's so much more respectful, so much more mature. This is a young man that had his own apartment in high school, mm-hmm. right? So he didn't have to drive 1 or 2 hours every morning to get to school. And so I asked him, okay, so what was it like going out? He said, nah, even if I was out, when it was time to leave, it was time to leave. And I made sure everybody that was with me came with me. Right. This is also a young man that in the eighth grade told his father, I want to be an NFL quarterback and I want to be the best that there ever was. And from that point, he had a regimen. He had training in the morning. He had nutritionists. And so at 14 years old, he was mature enough to say, this is what I want. I have to be uncommon to get it. And I believe that we don't associate those things with Caleb Williams like we do for other quarterbacks, mm-hmm. like people like to make those points about who other people are. And the self-awareness to say, I designed my pro day because of what everybody said I couldn't do. He said, because if you look at my throws from the pocket as opposed to my throws outside of the pocket, he's like, I'm more dead even than any other quarterback in this draft. But because I do the other things so well, that's what people point to. I think all of those things lead me to believe he has what it takes from an intangible standpoint to make it happen. And we've seen the skill. Now the Bears have built around him. It's time for him to go execute.
What, when you say the narrative has been out about him, who's put that narrative out about him? And is it possible that what we didn't notice about him was primarily because you're playing for Lincoln Riley, and every time somebody comes and plays for Lincoln Riley, we get caught up in Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
And we talk about Lincoln Riley as opposed to the actual person that's playing for him, whether it's him, it's Kyler Murray, it's Baker Mayfield, or somebody else. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, now, you know, you got to think, too, some of it, right, is the scene with his mother in the stands. After the Washington games, a lot of people were saying they didn't want a leader who jumped in the crowd and cried with his mother, you know, and asking him about that. He was like, that's my mom. He was like, and I was holding it together and I understood it. And when I embraced her, I knew that I could never accomplish any of my team goals at USC. I also knew that my career at USC was coming to an end and I didn't do the things that I had set out to do. He also talked about the fact that he followed Lincoln Riley to USC because he did feel like he was the best developer or quarterbacks in college ball. And when we see a lot of the things that this kid has had to endure, I think we sometimes ignore what it's like to be the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, going back to school, the projected number one pick, and the expectations that come along with that. And I think another part of the perception is we hear that they've asked, his team has asked for equity, or we hear all of these different things. He doesn't perform at the combine. Some things that are unfamiliar to being a number one overall draft pick that Caleb Williams has done, I think have built the narrative around it.
I've seen him. We all seen him play a lot. They're on TV constantly.
Every week.
So everybody, I don't care about the pro day. It means anything to me. I'm going to go by what I see with my eyes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I love him. And sometimes I say,
and that's fair.
What are you doing?
That's fair.
I do both with him.
So it's a little inconsistent.
So, now listen, everybody knew Troy Aikman was going to be great. Everybody knew Elway. Mm-hmm. When they traded for him. I mean, the Colts, they went to Denver. You know, these number one picks. I mean, I went to a couple years ago. Lawrence was the first pick. Zach Wilson was the second pick. Mm-hmm. Stinks. Justin Fields has already been traded. All right?
Yeah.
Mac Jones traded. Mac Jones. 15th pick in the draft. So you never, very unpredictable what to expect.
And what C.J. Stroud did was exceptional, obviously. Winning a playoff game in his first season. The Bears have not won a playoff game since 2010. But I want to stay with USC because we've got some news there. Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back. As ESPN has learned that the Heisman Trust will announce today the formal reinstatement of the trophy to Bush amid what is called enormous changes in the college football landscape. The Heisman Trust decision comes after Bush forfeited his Heisman Trophy in 2010 in wake of a significant NCAA sanctions for USC, which includes Bush receiving improper benefits during his career at USC. Okay. You were clapping there, RC.
I stood up and clapped on Get Up. This is, one, it's long overdue. Mm-hmm. Reggie Bush deserves to not only have the trophy that is a symbol of what he accomplished and what he earned at USC, but he deserves to be celebrated amongst the greatest college football players of all time. And they talked about that changing landscape. Obviously, it's the landscape that Mark Emmert, who is in charge of the NCAA, has really allowed to turn into the Wild Wild West. And also the understanding that nothing Reggie Bush received or nothing that his family received had anything to do with the work that he put in and the success that he had on the field as a USC Trojan. So I'm extremely excited for Reggie Bush.
So am I. It's well-deserved. It's long overdue. As far as I was concerned, it was never should have been taken from him to begin with, to be quite honest with you. And one of the greatest college football games I've ever seen was the national championship game between him, USC, and Texas. That's something that will live in the crevices of my mind forever. What a game. What a performance by Vince Young. What a, it was an event.
Yep.
It was everything. And Reggie Bush was sensational. And we all know that. And he did it on the field. And they talk about illegal benefits. And we talk about the rules of college football, college sports, period. But we've recognized a long, long, long time ago the hypocrisy that has reigned through college sports. Okay, how administrators, coaches, and everybody in between always found a way to funnel their pockets and themselves at the expense of the athletes who were generating this revenue for them. And so when I look at it from that standpoint and I see that now it's happened, I'm happy for him. I'm happy that the Heisman's being returned to him. I'm happy he's returning to the Heisman family. But most importantly, I'm happy that the NCAA, they've been forced to recognize times have changed and we've got to adapt to the times and we never really, really should have done this to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's time to do the right thing. Better, it's late, damn it, but better late than never.
Yep.
What do we do with Pete Carroll? He had to leave USC because of all those rules violations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Mike Garrett got fired, the AD.
Mm-hmm.
Do we bring them back too now?
I'm just saying. I don't know if you can bring him back as a coach or an AD.
I don't think that's the way it works,
but it wouldn't bother me.
It's never too late to do the right thing.
It's not like Reggie Bush is going back to play at USC.
I don't have a problem with Reggie Bush. Right. My only point is, what are we going to do about Pete Carroll, who had to go run at Seattle because they ran him out of town?
Then you publicly acknowledge that you've moved on from all of that and you embrace him in the USC family and the NCAA football family just the same way you would embrace Reggie Bush.
Yep. Agreed.
That's all. And the athletic director. You make sure that their names are no longer sullied like you sullied all of their names.
I agree. I think you attach that to Reggie Bush's Heisman being reinstated. I think all of those things are a piece of it with the way that that school was viewed, perceived, and also punished.
And have an event. And when you have an event and Reggie Bush is there, bring that AD and that coach there so they can all be celebrated.
Absolutely.
Let's be careful. Well, I just thought I'd throw it out there. What the heck?
Man? No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Got no problems with it whatsoever.
Hey, he did all right.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
Absolutely. Turned out okay for him. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Quick take, let's get it. After taking the first game, the Bucks came up small last night in game two, losing to the Pacers 125-108. The series is now tied at one game apiece. All right, Stephen A., if the Bucks lose in the first round without Giannis, is this season a complete failure?
I'm not going to say that because Giannis was hurt. And there's but so much you can expect from the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Obviously, you want what you want from Damian Lillard, who's averaging about 34.5 this series thus far. But he's not going to be enough. He wasn't enough by himself in Portland. He wasn't enough with C.J. McCollum. He's not going to be enough for Milwaukee in Milwaukee without Giannis. So I wouldn't say that. What I will say is this. There was like literally 10 minutes I was watching in the fourth quarter last night with the Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks. Pacers didn't miss a shot. I mean, I'm looking at the clock like everything they threw up was going in. Nebhard, you know, Miles Turner, I mean, everybody. I'm like, damn, nobody's missing. Nobody. Them brothers can score. And that's why I picked Indiana to win this series, because they can score, and that is just a problem for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I think if they lose even without Giannis, you have to call it a big-time disappointment. They fired a coach. They didn't finish the season well. They ended up with the fourth seed. I know it's tricky to beat Indiana, but I think they got to win this. I think they need to win this series to be a success.
Yeah, I think anything short of losing to Boston, that's how I'd label it too. Because if you pair up two players of this caliber, you're expecting a championship.
Yeah.
Okay, Boston clearly the better team. That'd be the one team. They lose in the first round. I picked the Pacers too, by the way. Bad style for the Bucks to play against.
Mm. Right. But even if Giannis is hurt?
You mean what I call it a failure if Giannis is hurt? Yes, yeah. I will. Because I look at it relative to expectations when they put them together. Okay. You're expecting a championship run. Regardless of the circumstances, it's a failed season when you have two guys on your roster to that level
and you
don't contend.
Absolutely. All right, let's keep it rolling here, guys. Luka Doncic scored 32 points as the Mavericks even their series with the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard looked a little rusty in his return to the court, scoring 15 points in his first game since March 31st. Dallas won for the first time this season when scoring less than 100 points. Here's a look at the Western odds. The Nuggets are even money favorites to come out of the Western Conference, and then it's a jumble with the Thunder, Wolves, Mavs, Clippers all tightly packed on the odds board. Tim Legler, you're up first here. Specifically, who would be a bigger threat to the Nuggets? Would you say it's the Mavs or the Clippers when we're looking at styles and matchups?
It's Dallas. I mean, I've been on record for a while saying I think they're going to the conference final. So that clearly means I think they're going to win this series, which is not going to be easy, particularly as Kawhi Leonard starts to find his rhythm, which could be the next game. It's going to be tall order for Dallas. I just love the pieces they've put around Luka. I love the way his relationship with Kyrie has developed to now it's basically seamless. The way that they play together. Nobody is stepping on toes. Nobody's overly deferring. They have figured out the ebb and flow amongst two stars. They've added length. They've added athleticism. They've got enough shooting. And then they've got the ultimate X factor, Luka Doncic. You put Luka Doncic in a close game, I trust him more than any player in the league, maybe outside of Jokic. Luka Doncic will get what he wants when he wants it for himself or his team in tight games. And that is why I trust the Dallas Mavericks. I think this is the best team he has had as a pro, and he's already been to one conference final. I think it was critical that they ended up out of Denver's bracket. They did that, fortunately, for them. So now you get past the Clippers. You've got either Oklahoma City or New Orleans coming out of the next round. I think Dallas wins that series. And I think Dallas ultimately is the last team standing against the Denver Nuggets in large part because I just trust Luka in tight situations.
Listen, Luka's great and he's phenomenal and I get all of that. I guess the reason why I say the Clippers is because I'm watching Dallas and obviously Dallas beats the Clippers last night and I get it. But Zubac appears to be a problem. So it's like, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just saying he's a big boy. You understand? He's a big boy. He saw what he did in game one last night. What he had 13 points, 12 rebounds. He's a big boy, and size appears to be a problem for Dallas. Gafford, Lively. Lively's tall but a bit thin. Okay, and I'm looking at Denver, and I'm looking at Jokic, and I'm looking at how he just pushes people around. The man can't jump onto a curb to save his life. Can't jump onto a curb, and you can't stop him. I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable to me, right? Footwork and all of that stuff, basketball IQ, phenomenal. He's great. I get all of that. But I'm just saying, it's like every time I think about Jokic, I think about Tyson Fury and when he fought up against Deontay Wilder, because Tyson Fury was like, literally, you'll never get this all-time scene, Dougie. Deontay Wilder got his headphones, don't want to answer any questions. Tyson Fury is absolutely disgusted because he flew across the ocean to do the press conference, and he has to promote because Deontay Wilder doesn't want to talk. He said, I'm going to tell you how this is going to be. He said, you're going to go into the fight, and I'm going to come in about 35 to 40 pounds heavier. He said, even when he said he can't box, so when I hit him, he's going to be there to be hit. He said, but even when I miss, I'm going to lean on him, and I'm going to strip him of his legs, and he's not going to have anything. And sure enough, that's basically what happened. And that's how I look at Jokic. Everything he does, he's always leaning on people. And he's just a big boy. And I think that when you are going against him, you got to be big. You got to be Minnesota. You got to be the Clippers. You got to be somebody like that. That's the only reason I say that. I agree with you about Luka. I agree with you about Luka and Kyrie. But that would be my issue with Dallas against somebody like Denver. They're just so big.
And I agree with Timmy on one point. The winner of this series will definitely beat New Orleans and Oklahoma City without the home court. I 100% agree. The problem that I have, and I think the Clippers will get through this series in seven games, although I am worried about Harden, because he never plays well when the season's on the line. I'll give you a chapter and verse. I don't trust him. Last night, 2 for 10 from 3, 93 points. I never trust him. Game 7 last year in Philadelphia, the year before against the Heat. I'll give you a million examples when he was with Houston in big spots. Golden State, San Antonio, I don't trust him. So he worries me. He worries me. But I will say the Clippers, because I think Leonard, when he gets better, and you and I were discussing before the show, we expect improvement in these next few days. I think the Clippers will win a game in Dallas. I think this is a seven-game series, and it's a white knuckler at the end, but I think the Clippers will win because of Leonard, and that's why I would have to give them a better chance against Denver, because I think they'll beat OKC. I think Denver's going to win anyway, but I think the Clippers will be the team that they play.
Clearly, we all trust Kawhi Leonard in a big spot.
Absolutely.
He's got a track record.
He's great.
If he's on the court. If he's on the court, I trust him.
Do you trust Luka?
Yes.
Has Kyrie Irving earned your trust?
Yes. Absolutely. Okay.
Let's look at the other side. You trust James Harden?
No.
Do you trust Paul George?
You know what?
Trust Westbrook. Energy will be there, but the decision making.
That's
fair.
Do
you trust those things in that spot?
I trust Kawhi and Paul George if they're on the court together. I do trust that. I do.
I agree with you.
Look, no one will be shocked if the Clippers win this series. I just think I'm putting my money on the guy that is in control, and that is Luka Doncic. He controls possessions. You cannot affect him. He's similar to Jokic. He's just a little bit smaller, the way they operate. They're wide. They're strong. Everything that they do looks effortless because of their strength and their IQ, and they can beat you as a scorer or a passer. I put him in that category with Jokic, and I think you get it to even a game 7 on the road. Luka Doncic has proven what that looks like. Just ask the Phoenix Suns.
Absolutely right.
So I'm just putting my faith in Luka. I'm not going to be shocked if the Clippers win. I just think Luka gets it.
I'll tell you right now, I don't know if we're going to have a lot of game 7s. I don't know if Philadelphia is going to get to a set. Miami isn't. The Lakers aren't. I don't think New Orleans is. You guys both think Minnesota's got
Milwaukee, Phoenix. Indy could be.
That could be. Yeah. Phoenix won't. So most of you guys, this might be the one.
I'm just hoping and praying.
And that'd be a great game.
Yeah, that'd be a great game.
I'm just hoping and praying the Lakers can get to 6.
Don't hold your breath.
I know.
That was an awful loss.
Yes.
And then LeBron moaning and groaning about calls at the end of the game.
No, he was right about that.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
The ref did hold their whistle. Now, you blew a 20-point lead. But the referees did hold their whistle.
He gets every call.
I went back and watched the game. They did hold their whistle, though.
You have to get some calls.
Hey, listen, if you're the Lakers, here's the thing. If you have three guys play that well offensively.
You can't lose.
And have a 20-point lead.
And you can't lose.
And you still don't get that one.
You can't lose.
That's a gut punch.
Can't lose.
I don't know how you recover from it.
I don't know how you can recover from it at all. They better do a game 3, because if they don't win game 3, they get swept.
All right.
They get swept.
As for this conversation, the Clippers went 2-2 versus the Nuggets this season, and the Mavs went 1-2. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
All right, let's take a look at draft needs for the Bills. Buffalo traded star wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans earlier this offseason after letting Gabe Davis go in free agency. As we look at Mel Kiper's top wideouts in the draft, a run of wide receivers may come after the quarterbacks, with Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, and Malik Nabers all projected to go in the top 10. Stephen A. Smith. Should the Bills move up to draft Diggs' replacement in Buffalo?
I'm inclined to say yes. I don't want them giving up too many assets, but at the end of the day, if Josh Allen is all that you claim he is, you need to help him out to the best. You can't just leave him hanging. He can't. The one thing we know about great quarterbacks is they can't catch the balls they throw. Okay? Somebody else, I got to have somebody else out there to catch it. And so when you lose a Stephon Diggs, when you lose a Gabe Davis, you've got to offset that loss by bringing somebody in to let Josh Allen know, look, we know what we have in you. We've got to supplement you with some weapons.
I mean, this is a deep wide receiver draft. And you think about a guy like Xavier Worthy, who ran 4.21 at the combine out of Texas. He will be there late in the first round. There's also some good wide receivers that could be splattered or that you can get when you think of the second and third round. And also, let's look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the Patrick Mahomes model. If you believe that Josh Allen is that guy, if you think that having Stephon Diggs elevated him to a level where he can make players around him better, why would you reach? Why would you trade up if you think that a guy like Rome Odunze or maybe Brian Thomas Jr. from the LSU is your guy and you can work out a way to get up and get them where you don't have to give up too many assets? Maybe that's something you have the conversation about, but I don't feel like you want to mortgage picks and assets right now when you have a quarterback who should be able to elevate the play of the skilled players
depends
around
on
him.
If you got one specific person you want to
that's what I
interviewed Worthy. He wants to be with a big time. Everybody, any receiver will want to be with a big time quarterback.
I'm with Ryan because you think about it. There are six quarterbacks who are going to first round. They have the 28th pick. So six quarterbacks are going to first round. I'm going to include Knicks and Penix with the big four. You got a lot of offensive linemen who are going to go early in the first round. And then you got the tight end from Georgia who's going to go early in the first round. And then you got all these receivers, three guys from Washington.
Yep.
You know, McMillan, Doozy.
You got
a lot of guys. So I think you can sit back at 28. I don't see them going crazy. They got the second round pick. Mm-hmm. They draft the receiver. I think they probably can get a halfway decent one at that pick.
I'm just saying if I got Josh Allen, I don't want halfway decent. I need a sure thing. Whoever that sure thing is, go get him. I get where y'all coming from. I don't necessarily disagree. But if you got your target on one guy and you think he's not going to be there, then you do what you can to get
him. Yeah, I think, too, though, you go back to last year's draft, there is a lot of misses when it comes to wide receivers. You got a guy like a Justin Jefferson who goes in the 20s and he becomes the best wide receiver in the entire league. Devontae Adams was also a second-round pick.
Yeah,
so I'm not saying that you can wait.
Sure.
On these players. Stephon Diggs was a fifth-round pick of Minnesota. I'm not saying that you can wait on these players, but when you have these wide receivers who do have these special traits, when you pair them with the premier passer, I think that's when you get to see them reach their full potential. And so to me, if you're the Buffalo Bills, there's so much more that you can add to this team that you could use those assets for rather than trading up for one wide receiver in a receiver-rich draft.
Plus, they got that second-round pick, too, so they have a chance there. I think Buffalo – the GM's good.
I think
Buffalo will be okay.
Brandon Bean's a good GM.
On the flip, before we roll, how good's Houston going to be this year?
I think Houston's going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're C.J. Stroud, you went into a situation last year that people thought was the worst. Right, going into the season, it was you have a defensive-minded head coach. You don't have a number one receiver. All he does is make Nico Collins a 1,000-yard receiver. We saw what him and Tank Dell were able to do. And now you add Stephon Diggs to that, along with Joe Mixon at the running back position. What this team said was, we got one of those ones at quarterback. And at some point, we're going to have to pay him a ton of money. Let's try to win it while he's on his rookie deal.
100%. Absolutely. And if anybody
it's gonna
saw
be fun to watch.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, no, no, if anybody saw Stroud against Georgia in that semifinal game, you knew Stroud was going to be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen McCarthy play that kind of game, so that's why I think Stroud.
Well, and not only that, I can't take too seriously Jim Harbaugh about
totally
J.J. McCarthy. That's your guy.
Yeah, you understand?
I just can't do that.
Yeah.
Did you see the Vegas odds have changed, though?
Yes, of course, because Jim Harbaugh is going to have that kind of play. But I will say this. There's only two teams definitively better than Houston in my mind in the AFC. Mm-hmm. That's Kansas City, because they're the reigning defending champions, and they got the greatest quarterback in the game, and the Ravens.
Mm.
Outside of that, I don't think you can look at anyone else in the AFC and definitively proclaim they're up on Houston.
I agree.
Not now.
And they're in a bad division.
Yep.
Which means they don't get banged up, and they get a high seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who benefited from that?
And when you bring
that was with the Patriots.
That's exactly what the Jets. Good job.
And when you bring up Trevor Lawrence, that's what I want to see.
Patronizing.
I want to see what Trevor Lawrence does now that you've seen the year that C.J. Stroud has had. Now that you know what Anthony Richardson could do when he comes back healthy and Indy, I want to see what Trevor Lawrence is going to do. Are you going to respond to that kind of challenge?
Big year for him. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You may continue.
It's a big day for you.
Why?
You mad about stuff?
Oh,
later?
I got a couple.
R.C., have you been here?
Yes.
I can't wait for this.
Oh, okay.
I'm fired up.
Pressure again. Will you stop?
Oh,
my God.
I thought you liked
pressure first times, baby. Let's go.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.